Hello, and welcome to The Mirror Project. We are your hosts, Alexandra
and Christine,
and we are so glad you are joining us. Today, we'll be discussing the topics of money, personal finance, and financial literacy, which seems apropos with tax day April 15th in the U.S. just around the corner. Also, this episode is special because we welcome our second guest to the show, Nicole. So let's dive in and start talking money, honey.
Before we dive into today's topic, like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platform. Go ahead, pause, and do it now before you forget. Don't worry, we won't get started without you. I'm super excited because today my sister Nicole is joining us. One of the funniest people I have ever met who happens to have majored in finance and accounting and has 5 years of experience working in public accounting. Thank you so much for taking time during one of your busiest times of the year to chat with us.
Hi, yes, I'm very happy to be here. Let's talk business.
All right.
So welcome, Nicole. Tell us a little bit about yourself and how did you end up in the fascinating world of accounting?
Well, I can honestly say it was pretty accidental because when I applied to college, I applied to the business school and there was a drop down box and that was the first one there. And I went with it. And so as I started taking accounting classes and I wasn't terrible at it. So I was like, okay, guess we'll do this. And that's kind of how that all started.
Sounds very kind of, you just stumbled right on into it. And you're like, you know what? Might as well go. I've got my feet under me.
I did not grow up as a child being like, I'm going to be a public accountant. No, that was not how it all started.
Was it your childhood dream? Oh, damn. No.
But it all worked out and we're still with it today. Something's going right.
Exactly. 5 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, you're definitely the person I have in my life who knows the most when it comes to being financially literate. And I'll tell you this, it makes me nervous and I feel like an idiot sometimes because I just feel I'm at a loss. I don't understand it. A lot of the lingo, I'm like, what are you saying? So
it's like, can you put that in plain English, please? Because what you just said was not a language I understand.
Exactly. So we would love to know if you have any lessons that you've learned you can share with us and what advice you might have when it comes to money.
So yeah, absolutely. I did, and like you said before, major in finance and accounting, so I can give you the business 101 spiel if you want, but I think at the end of the day, it is an overwhelming concept, and I think for me sometimes I tend to forget, okay, Nicole, not everyone studied what you studied and knows it the way that you do, and there's even for me sometimes I still get overwhelmed, and I think that I'm glad you guys are doing this just to kind of create more transparency around the subject, and it's not necessarily as scary as I think a lot of people think it is. So I think a couple of things that are always good to know, always good to, invest your money in one form or another, a ton of different options to do this. But at the end of the day, one of the biggest things I learned in finance is, don't put all your eggs in one basket. So don't take all the money you have and put it towards one thing. I mean, some people do that and it works out for them, but there are some people that do that and doesn't. So that being said, it's always good to diversify your investments. And another thing is that I learned is the greater the risk, the greater the reward. So it's some people do take those big risks and it does pay off. But again, sometimes you take that big risk and it doesn't pay off. And so it definitely depends on the kind of person you are. Your age, somebody that's a bit younger, maybe in their early 20s, that has time and can take on that level of risk now, or is more likely to than, somebody that's in their retirement that's probably not going to try to gamble their entire retirement away. So that does change depending on your age. But I think there's several different vehicles you can do to invest your money or kind of just get started with that. I think financial advisors, those are kind of tricky to come by, but even just talking to your friend in finance, be like, hey, what'd you do? And kind of just get that door open to see, hey, do you have any recommendations? Even I do that. I freaking study finance and I'm like, what the hell? what do you mean? What am I? I don't know. So I think talking to people does help. I do talk to a bunch of my friends that have studied this, that are kind of a little bit more involved, get their take on it. Even talk to your parents, mom and dad. Rose knows what she's doing. Like, she's the one that put me onto the high yield savings account or high interest.
So I have a question about that, and I would like to know where to find one of those, because I recently was looking at my bank and saw the interest accrued on your account this year, and yeah. It's like, you know, I've got a chunk of change in there, and it's like 17 cents. And I'm like, yeah, dang, it's so working for me. And I'm like, you know, I feel like I like more than 17 cents.
Absolutely.
I mean, you know, I'm not asking for like $10,000 on my savings, but, you know, more than 17 cents.
Right. Right. I hear you. I know. I get like 1 cent every couple months. I'm like, what the hell? I think with that, it depends on your bank.
I'll be rich in 10,000 years.
Mm-hmm. I think it depends on your bank. I think you can definitely talk to whichever bank you use. Like, call up Gary at Chase Bank and be like, hey, Gary. Hey.
What's good, buddy?
I was up with like a high interest bearing savings account, and just start talking to them about it, or okay. Even just Google. Like 90% of what, okay, not 90%, but a large portion of my knowledge and like things that even like from work, like I Google it and just kind of see what's out there. I think mm-hmm. It's definitely worth like, you know, putting in some sort of level of research. But at the end of the day, I feel like word of mouth, like recommendations from others is a big part of where these things are going to come from.
Well, I feel like that rolls nicely into our next question and kind of prompt of what have we, I'm guessing, each done to take control of our finances or what we plan to implement in the future. So I don't know if, Nicole, you want to be put on the spot, but
yeah,
this is your field. And beyond the just asking people, what else have you done?
So one thing that I would definitely recommend that everyone should start investing in is what's called a Roth IRA. It's an individual retirement account. Mm-hmm. And essentially with this one, the way a Roth IRA works now is that you contribute after tax dollars. So you don't have any benefit of putting it away now, but your contributions and earnings can grow tax free. So it's like if you put your money into a Roth IRA and you're in, because they'll put invest in mutual funds, stocks, whatever, it within that account, and any gain you get from your investments in that account, when you go to withdraw that money, it's all tax-free. Like, you're not paying tax on those gains. Mm. So that's the extreme benefit of it. Granted, you will not be able to access this money until you are 59 and a half years old. If you do it before, you will get wrecked with the tax, like, on it. So you can't access it until a certain age. Mm. But it is definitely super nice that, you know, any money that you put into a regular investment account now and you go to sell that stock, you're going to pay capital gains tax on it. And so I'm pretty sure with a Roth IRA, the way that works is the whole idea is that you can take that money out tax-free later on. So that's one of the major benefits of it. So that's one thing that I've personally started to invest in. And I think it's a really good, just like a good way to start saving for retirement for anybody. And you can put, like, even if you just put $100 away, like every year. Like when you can, and I think that's what's so nice about it is you can let that money grow, and you don't have to put in, you know, the max every year, but you don't, like, just something, you know.
That's true.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think I'll jump in a little bit and share a couple of things that I've done similar to what Nicole's just mentioning. Roth IRA, I have decided to roll over my 401k from one of my jobs into a Roth IRA account, just because when talking with my financial advisor about it, they suggested that to doing that because they would be able to help manage that as well as my other investment account that I have set up. Yeah, I think for me going forward, I just want to grow my relationship with my financial advisor because obviously they know the field more than I do. I'm lucky enough to have my sister to bounce things off of and to help me when it comes time to file taxes and all that jazz. But how about you, Alexandra? What sort of things have you thought about doing or have done?
Oh, gosh. Yikes. I feel like my parents set me up pretty well. I mean, you know, having a checking account when I was early. I think in our last episode, I talked about the one and only time I overdrafted my checking account, and it was for a book habit. But since then, I have learned to manage my money better. I do have a 401k through work. So I know, I honestly don't remember. I think there was only a standard amount, and they match after 5 years. I think it takes 5 years to get vested with them. But I was doing a secondary retirement option for another percentage through something else. But that, of course, has changed at work, and I need to deal with that on Monday. Cool. Oh, and I did a couple, gosh, probably 2 years ago, put a chunk of money into a Roth IRA. But as Nicole says, I probably should think about adding money when I can, which I have not done for 2 years. So something I need to call
it's
up.
Okay, you're not alone.
Financial advisor and say, hey.
It's also been a minute for me.
I've done my good thing.
Yeah, and I think that's one thing that gets a little bit tricky is like, you know, because you can contribute to for the year. There's a maximum that you can contribute each year, because they don't want everyone putting, like, especially if like you're the kind of person that can just like drop a couple million, like they don't want you to do that and then you know, gain a ton of money and then take it. Like, the idea is it for it to be like, you know, regular. Like, I think the most it's been going up, it might be 6,500 that you can contribute in a year. But like sometimes, like, that's just like not reasonable. Like, I can't contribute like that every year, and I think like, even if, like, I need to be better as well, just, like, even putting a little bit away.
Yeah, a little bit here and there. I think, like, any amount helps, because I kind of like to, I try not to think about it. It's, like, it's there, that amount goes out every month, and it's just going to stay there until I need it, and it'll grow, and it'll do its thing, and I try not to think about it. But, yeah, I think every little bit helps, and there's...
Well, you make a good point, Christine. I might need to call my financial advisor and talk to him about saying, like, can I set up an automatic withdrawal of like a certain amount, and it just all goes in at the end of the year or whatever, to make it a little bit more, I don't want to say mindless, but like, hey, I've set it up and I'm sticking to it, because clearly I have not thought about it since.
Yeah.
So maybe having the automatic part will make it a little easier to
do. Exactly. I'm pretty sure that that is definitely an option out there for people. And the nice thing is like, you can fit it into your budget, so you can figure out like how much you are able to contribute each month. And yeah, I think that's a perfect segue into our next topic, where we want to touch on the important things to keep in mind at each stage of life and what are some tips. So we talked about getting yourself a Roth IRA, but what are some other options that are out there for people? I think we touched on investing in the stock market. Nicole, do you have any other, shall we dive into that a little bit and chat a little bit about the stock market?
We can definitely talk about the stock market. I think a lot of people find the stock market a little bit scary. And I think to an extent, it's good to be scared of it. You know, you don't, like I said before, you don't want to just like throw yourself into like all your money into one thing without like any sort of knowledge, research or anything like that. I think it's important to either hire somebody to help you, or to like, before you kind of get into it, like look into what you're doing yourself, even just a little bit. Like, it definitely is worth like help educate yourself. And then I think it's also important to know that, like, the way the business cycle works is, like, it has its highs and it has its lows. And it kind of, like, does, like, a little squiggly curvature. And it's called, like, it's always been that way. We have had crazy recessions and depressions. We had the Great Depression, and then we had the financial crisis of 2008.
Mm-hmm.
Which, I mean, like, not ideal, like, to have such an extreme drop. It has happened, but, like, we've always been... Right. Okay. And I think it's important for people to know that, like, you're going to have years where, like, it is going off, like, booming, and then other years where, like, it's on the decline. And it's just, like, it has to kind of, like, balance out that way. And so I think it's important to know that, like, I mean, COVID, for example, I watched my investment account go from, like, the highest it's ever been to, like, like, literally, like, lost a ton of money, and then I'm just like back to normal a couple months later. Like, so I think with things like that, like, to the extent you can, like, it is going to be okay for the most part. Like, I will say that, mm-hmm. and that it's normal for those fluctuations to happen. That being said,
yeah,
buy low, sell high. If you don't want to be like buying all your stock at like top price when things are going super well and then sell it all when things aren't going well, you want to do the opposite. Like,
you know,
like in those moments when, you know, stock market's super low, like look into investing. I mean, even during COVID, the house, like interest rates, like the housing market, like so many people refinanced because mm-hmm. interest rates were crazy low and now they're crazy high. But if you like locked yourself into a fixed mortgage at a low interest rate, like pat on the back for you. But anywho, sorry to ramble on that. But I think it's just like important for people to be aware that like it will fluctuate, and when things go down, it's gonna be okay.
Yeah, and maybe a way to sort of help feel secure is when it fluctuates like that, like you said, don't have your eggs all in one basket. Maybe don't put all of your maybe you keep some savings mm-hmm. in a high interest saving account, or you know, you put it into your Roth IRA or your retirement fund, and then keep some in the stock market and just let it do its thing and keep an eye on it. I think I certainly don't know a whole lot about when it comes to the stock market world, but I think it your points make sense. Like, yeah, you want to buy low and mm-hmm. sell high. So, you know, keep doing your research. I think there's a lot of information that you can easily access. And like you said, Nicole, just talk to family, talk to friends. I think the important thing is to just keep talking about it, because for the longest time, I think a lot of people were like, let's not talk about money. It's like almost like a taboo thing. Yeah. But it's like, well, how else are we supposed to function as humans in this world, in the world market that we all...
I think there should be way more transparency around it. 100%.
I know we talked about the Roth IRA and that it's already tax money that you put in there. So when you take it out at 59 and a half, it's not taxed. But Christina and I both mentioned 401ks. What is the difference for people who don't know between the 401k option and the Roth IRA?
So without Googling, I don't want to get like my facts 100% mixed up, but 401ks, I feel like I see them a lot more as like, you know, there's employer contribution plans are part of it. So it's like my company does a very similar thing where it's like we like up to a certain amount, like my company will match my contribution. Mm-hmm. And then after 5 years, like that's secured. So if mm-hmm. I were to leave before 5 years, I'm like, too bad, so sad. Like, so does it make sense to leave before then? Or especially because I've been there for like, I'm coming up on my best date. So.
Ooh, that's good.
But like, I think technically, like, it like shows up on your W-2, you know, what you contributed. I do think, I don't want to say the wrong thing because I'm not 100% sure, but I'm pretty sure it's like pre-tax. That's where I most commonly see it. Like, I feel like a 401k is going to be more employer sponsored.
That's definitely what I remember, because with my first job out of college, my 401k, I, you know, set it up so I could contribute the most, because it was like percentage based, like how, like if you contributed, mm-hmm. I contributed the most possible so that my employer matched that. And I think for us, it was, we had to be there at least 3 years to be fully vested. And unfortunately, COVID hit just before my 3 year mark, and I was let go. Oh. So I was able to take like 80-something% away from it, but I was like so close to be fully vested. But yeah, so I think those are all really good points, and those differences make sense. Yeah.
We've talked about different aspects, right? Like the savings and the investment. Nicole, do you have an idea, like maybe percentage wise, what people should be thinking about out of their paycheck they should be putting towards each avenue?
I mean, there's like so many things that I feel like people say. It's like, you know, like saving 30%, or it's like, you know, if you go by like certain metrics, like, okay, like 30% for basic needs, like 10% for saving, 20%, whatever it may be. I feel like I hear different things. I think that it's like, you know, it depends. Like, everyone's situation is different, and like I kind of find ourselves in a situation where like the cost of living is way too high, especially like depending on the city you live in, compared to my salary, like it's a struggle for sure. And it's like realistically, like you can't find like, okay, like a comfortable place to live while also being able to take care of your basic needs while being able to do all the like fun recreational. And sometimes people don't even have like that kind of money to, you know, be able to do those fun things, let alone like put away 10 to 20%. You like, it really depends. Like, I feel like that's such a tough metric for to like say for anyone, because it depends on like your life. That being said, I think it's like save what you can. I mean, if you can save up to 10% of your paycheck, like every time you get your paycheck, then awesome. But I think also at the same time, like it's good to put away what you can for like rainy day funds. But it's also like, I don't think people should beat themselves up every time if like, hey, like there's just like not, like I have these basic needs I need to meet. I don't think like people should get down on themselves if they can't do that. Like, save a certain amount of money. So I don't want to say like a specific number. I think it's like based off of an individual's means and, you know, different life factors. And even if like you put like $5 away, like go you. It's definitely a good thing to do, but it's,
yeah, I think that you make a good point, Nicole.
Yeah, I'm tired of being told I have to save 20%. I'm like, I can't afford to save 20% or like whatever it may be. I think it's like do what you can, and like if you can, I think 10% is a good number if like your means allow.
Yeah, I think you make a good point. Yeah. Like, don't get caught up in saving for a rainy day. I think, Nicole, last night you made the point of like, you know, you still should live for today too. So like, don't deprive yourself of going on that trip or buying yourself something for the sake of like, you know, saving for the future.
Oh yeah, like that's my whole other thing. I'm like, I don't know, sometimes I'm like, am I gonna make it to 59 and a half?
Well, and it makes me feel more comfortable, I don't know, confident that I'm not quote unquote behind, hearing you say something like put away what you can, like it doesn't have to be a certain percentage, because I think recently that's been kind of weighing on my mind is like I think about the future, what do I want to do with my career, and leave a stable day job and do the small business thing on my own, like I'm like, oh my gosh, how am I going to do any of this and still live a life I want to live. So, you know, it's nice hearing this perspective of like, no, I mean, do what you can. Like, it's not always possible to do, you know, the whatever is recommended. So that makes me feel a lot more comfortable.
Oh, good.
Not so freaked out.
Yeah, I think for me, just I was feeling like this impending pressure and doom almost. Like, I'm leaving my 20s and I'm not saving as much as I think I should be. But you know, this conversation has definitely started to help ease that. And like, yeah, it's never too late and do what you can. And there's always options out there for you, which I think is great to keep in mind. And yeah, just take it one day at a time. I think Nicole's, you gave some really good advice. So thank you.
Oh, God. I hope so.
Yeah, for sure. One other question I have for you, Nicole, is what is your opinion when it comes to financial advisors? Are they worth it? Like, if you can't afford it, is it like that big of a deal? How?
I don't think, yeah. I mean,
what are your thoughts?
Usually financial advisors come into play, I think, for a lot of people is like if they find themselves in a situation where they, you know, like win the lottery or like start making a ton more money than they have before and they just like have all this like income all of a sudden and they don't know how to handle it. I think that happens a lot with people. And I also like I have friends that just like my boyfriend right now, he got a financial advisor because like he just didn't study this is not what he knows, and he just like wanted to be able to have advice. Like, so I think because there are financial advisors that aren't like crazy expensive. Sometimes with that comes like, hey, I'm not like too thrilled what they're doing with my investments, or like I'm not getting that great of a return. Like, then you kind of would be able to move on. I do think they are incredibly helpful in like, because it can be super overwhelming and just like knowing where everything's going and help you kind of get your shit together, if that makes sense, and just like kind of help you stay on top of it. Like, for me, like, I am not going to be in my investment account like selling and like buying stocks every day. That is just not my thing. at all.
Yeah.
Like, and it's nice to have somebody
that's like a job.
You know, I know it's like kind of taking care of it for me. But then some other people are very much more hands-on with that kind of stuff. I think it depends on the kind of person you are. I do think, like, it is worth it if you just, like, you don't know what you're doing. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm pretty, like, ADD, and, like, it's just, like, I don't have the attention for that. Like, that is just not on my current mind all the time, which is, like, I wish it was, and I wish I was the kind of person that could be able to do that, but I'm not, like, just the way that I am. And so for me, I think it's absolutely worth it. And I think if you're the kind of person where it's like, oh my god, like, I need help, then yeah, it's definitely worth it. Like I said before, you can find, there are financial advisors for, you know, different income levels. And I think if it's in your means, then absolutely, like, go for it. Like, I feel like financial advisors, a lot of people think of it as being like, oh, I'm the CFO of, like, Uber or, like, something like that. And it's, like, you need someone to, like, financially advise you on, like, what to do next. But no, they do make them for regular, like, people like us. So I think it just depends on your kind of situation. Because, like, also, like, my best friend, she's so good at just, like, being on top of this. I was, like, if I could hire you to be my assistant, like, I would. So I think for her, like, it's not as necessary. But so I think it's, again, it depends.
So if someone's not ready or at a place to splurge for a financial advisor, I know you mentioned earlier, like, doing your research on the internet, but is there any, like, thing you remember from school that is just like a basic resource that people can use to learn to understand more of the terminology and principles of investing or saving or some of the concepts? Without, you know, having to go through school and getting an accounting degree.
Very fair. I think, like, in those kind of instances, that's a good question. I feel like if you're trying to get to know the world better, like, YouTube. Like, there's so many things out there that people have posted. Like, you can literally learn anything on the internet nowadays. And I think it's worth looking up. Like, I always kind of I think of it, like, when I first started working in the corporate world, like, my first, you know, internship, like, I just didn't have much to do. There wasn't much for me. So I would fill my spare time while I was, like, at this internship. Like, I took an online Excel course. Like, I think I was, like, junior in college. Like, I was young, so I just, like, took an online Excel course and learned a lot. And not to say I'm an Excel wizard now, but I know a thing or two. So I think, like, so even just like
you can
that,
navigate
it's like, you know, take a couple of minutes, like, or even Saturday to, like, just, like, spend some time give me the 101 on YouTube or whatever that may be. I feel like that's a good place to start if, like, you really just, like, don't know. You hear all these terms, and, like, sometimes, like, I feel like that's the best way to kind of, like, even, like, start from, like, basic. And then you can definitely find different things if you want to know about a specific area more than another. So I feel like that would be a good way to go.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, now I have homework to do. I get to go.
I know that's a great point, Nicole. I agree. YouTube's a great resource. And I think, too, is something I've slowly become more comfortable is just copping to. I think the fact that I don't know what I don't know and not be embarrassed about it. I think Simon Sinek did an interview where he was talking about how he was in a boardroom and they were having, like, this conversation and everybody was shaking their heads like they understood what was being talked about. And he raised his hand and he was like, I'm sorry, but can you, like, take this again and talk about this as if I'm, like, completely dumb and don't know what you're saying? Because I totally don't know what we just talked about. And it wasn't until he said that and opened up that conversation for everybody that everybody else was like, yeah, you know I was shaking my head in agreement, but I too don't know what the hell we were just talking about. So I think that's just a really good point. Like, don't be afraid to ask the question or say, can you explain what that means? Because I don't know what it means.
But I think that's a good point. Like, so many people I know of, and I definitely get trapped in that sometimes of being like, I don't want to look stupid or sound stupid. So I'm not going to ask a question that'll help better myself.
Yeah. getting my own head sometimes when it comes to stuff like that.
Yeah, no, that happens to me at work. Like, I'll be like, not to sound like a dumbass, but what the fuck? And they're like, no, like, thank you for asking. I'm like, they're like, that's a great question. And I'm like, if you answer this.
I think people really appreciate it too, because it gives them an opportunity mm-hmm. for them to expand more. And like, people love to teach people things.
So. Even with some of the interns in our group, it doesn't feel that long ago that I was them, but it really, like, sometimes I'm like, oh my God, like, they're talking to me. Like, I'm an adult. Girl, it is fine. Because a lot of them are like, I feel so bad. Like, they're so nervous to ask a question. I'm like, literally, when it comes to this, like, no question is a dumb question. If you've been working here for like 4 years and you don't know what's like up and down and left and right, like to a certain extent, it's like, because after a while, like you have like, oh, okay. A little bit of an idea of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Not everything, but it's like when you're first coming into this, like I don't expect you to know anything. And I think it's important for it to be like, there are no dumb questions about this. And it's easy to be like, oh, I don't want to sound like an idiot. But it's okay to ask. And it's like, I feel like, especially in the work, by asking and just kind of confirming your understanding, like, it's not a bad thing. You know what I mean? Like, it mm-hmm. shows that, like, you care. Mm-hmm. Like, it's,
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, like, why are we doing this? And then I think with other people, too, like, you don't know what you don't know, and that's not your fault.
Exactly.
That is true. I met with somebody yesterday. We were talking about business and stuff, and we kept coming up to the thing of, like, well, I don't know what I don't know. And you don't know it until you come to the fact that you don't know it.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, it's just like, I was trying to figure out questions to ask you. And then she's like, I don't, about what I don't know. And I was like, that's kind of hard to do. But like, if you have a question, just shoot me a text message and we'll chat. But yeah, like you said, chatting with friends and asking questions. And it's so funny because I think I would tell other people, like you said, just ask. But when it comes to myself, I'm not so great at taking my own advice. Mm. So.
I hear that. Yeah.
All right, so let's roll into our next segment, taxes, if anyone's interested, now that we are right around that season right now. So what are some of the biggest mistakes that you've seen or heard people make when it comes to taxes? And what is your advice on avoiding said mistakes?
What are some of the biggest mistakes that I've seen? Ignore your accountant. Don't ignore us.
Okay.
I think... I'll say this, like, I feel like mistakes happen. And so it's hard to be like, oh, the biggest mistake. I think mm-hmm. it's more so, oh, here's one, because somebody hit me up and asked me this question recently, is like, hey, like, TurboTax says I owe money. Like, is it dumb to just like extend the return and deal with it later? An extension of time to file is not an extension of time to pay tax due. If you do that and you don't pay anything, you will get hit with interest and penalties. And so I think that's like a big thing, is like just like pushing it off and not doing anything about it. Like, don't do that. Like, if you owe money to the government, you, in order to not pay interest and penalties, like, you can file an extension, but you need to make sure you're covering either 90% of your current year liability paid in, either through estimated payments or withholding from your company W-2, or you have to have paid in 110% of your prior year tax liability. That's called safe harbor, which is basically like, sometimes like you have a year where you make a bunch more money than another year, but and if you end up owing a ton, as long as you pay 110% of last year, like, that's fine. So yeah, don't, like, that's a big one. Like, you can't just like not pay.
If you owe, you owe.
So I feel like that's, and like, if even if you're not sure, like, you want to make sure, like you don't want to just like ignore it, if that makes sense. Like, especially like now, if you're not too sure why, like, you can always file an extension, and then yeah, you can figure it out later, but you definitely want to be able to like pay the liability, because then you get a refund, you know, but you don't want to just like avoid payment. File your taxes. That's another
just
one.
Just like that, I don't feel like paying the IRS today.
File your taxes. Don't forget to file. Yeah.
And I know that you have...
Do it now.
Yeah. And, like, you can file an extension. Like, a ton of my clients are on extension. Like, things are just not ready in time. Like, it depends on your situation. Like, there's nothing wrong with extending, but like, you do have to make an extension payment if you're gonna.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's like another thing is like, a lot of people think like the government is scary, like the IRS is scary. Like, yes, to an extent. Understand, like, you are not the only 20 something teenage girly in the world that, like, we're like, what? Like, even I, like, individual income taxes is not my personal specialty. I do have like familiarity with it, but I think it's like, usually, like, the IRS is gonna come for you. Like, you know, you're evading your taxes, like, you know, you're committing fraud. Like, usually, it's pretty intentional. There are things called amended returns. If something gets messed up, like, you can always go back and like fix it. Usually it's like, you're gonna go to prison, or what's his name from the Jersey Shore that went to prison because he was evading taxes, what's his name, the situation, like, he was straight up like avoiding, like, tax evasion. Don't evade your taxes. Yeah, I think it's important to, like,
that's crazy,
know that it's not, like, it's okay.
You're like, nah, I just don't feel like the paying IR, so I'm, yeah, just going to run.
The IRS is, like, not, like, it's not as scary as, like, I think a lot of people think it is. I think, yeah, it's because nobody, you know, they didn't teach you this in school, which is kind of crazy. But, like, at the end of the day, like, it's okay.
Right.
Like, it's not, yeah, you know, like, I mean, people make mistakes all the time. On, like,
I paid so much money for an education.
Yeah, right? But it's, like, mistakes happen. There are amended returns. Like, again, unless, like, one thing they told us about in business school was, like, the whole Enron scandal. Like, they, like, straight up were, like, fraud. Like, it was, like, that, like, you're going to get in trouble for. But it's, like, if you're, no, like, people like us, like, they're not, like, we're not trying to evade our taxes. We're not trying to get in trouble. And I think IRS understands that, like, we're trying our best. Like,
yeah,
half the time they come out with tax legislation, I can't make a decision on it. Like, it is okay. We are okay. We are not going to be afraid of the IRS. It'll be all right. So I think, like,
okay,
that's important for people to know. As long as you can. That's all we got to.
With that, we had talked briefly about, like, oh, I wish this was taught in school. Like, Nicole, do you think they should teach this to, like, high schoolers? Or should this be just a standard part of general curriculum in college? Like, at what age do you think we should start learning about this stuff?
I think that's a tough question because, like, in high school, like, I don't give a fuck. Like taxes are not on my mind. Like, that is,
yeah,
like, a lot of people aren't making money in high school. I think it depends on the person. But, I mean, like, that's kind of tough to say. And not everyone goes to college. So maybe that's, like, the issue. I do think that there should be, like, maybe senior year of high school. Like, hey, 101, here is, like, what you're doing. When you're doing it, like, you're,
yeah,
like, just kind of, like, a general, or even if, like, they had, like, a class at the YMCA or something, I don't know. Like, I think it's just helpful to be, like, this is, like, what, this is,
yeah,
what a deduction,
yeah,
is. Like, that would have been great. I would have loved to know what a deductible is for health, yeah, insurance way sooner than I did. Like, just, like, things like that, I think it would be helpful to have, like, a 101 life course. Like, by the way, there's this thing called health insurance. Things like that.
Health,
like,
insurance?
Mm-hmm.
I think, like, the importance of building credit.
Oh yeah, that's a big one.
So yeah, scary. I feel like there's also, like, you know, pay off your credit card so you don't accumulate a ton of debt. Yeah, I would definitely say that. I don't know if Christine shared with you the story that I experienced with my tax accountant this year, because I, you know, file a couple, like, I have a couple different forms, like my W-2, and then, you know, I was a part of a different podcast, so getting my K-1 form from that group for a part of the year, and then I was filing a Schedule C because that's what I was told to do. And then this woman just kind of gave me some investing advice. Like, we were talking about Roth IRAs and 401ks, but this was solely based on her opinion, not why I was there. Like, just file my taxes, please, and do it correctly. And then she went on to tell me some very sketchy business practices, which I will need to have some many questions for people later. But it was just kind of a horrendous thing that I was like, I just want to pay my taxes and get out of here. Like, I don't. I'm like, I just don't want the IRS to come knocking on the door saying, hey, you owe us more money. And so I think this conversation has helped kind of alleviate some of that fear that the IRS will come knocking. Yeah. But yeah, there is, like, so much that is involved, and it was crazy. So I will not be going back to that person, and yeah, probably not back to that company either. I think I read the review that created for that experience to Christine, and she's like,
whoa. Yeah, I was like, damn, okay. But to that point, Nicole, do you have like advice on what to look for in a good accountant? Yes. And like maybe where to,
or things to run from?
I think if your accountant is like being sketchy and making you uncomfortable, like, you don't have to give them your business. Like, definitely, like, don't do that. I think, again, sort of, like, it is going to be trial and error. Like, so for the company I work for, it's not cheap for us to have you do your taxes. But, like, with that, like, you are demanding and you are expecting the highest of quality. Like, the best advice that you can get, like, that's kind of how we differentiate ourselves. And so that, like, you can pay a premium for that, absolutely. But then I think for, like, regular tax planning, it depends. If your tax accountant is not being responsible, like, granted, we know, or I do, like, appreciate so much when a client can, like, understand. It's like, hey, I have 10 other clients screaming at me. I've been working 100 hours a week. Like, I have not slept. Please don't be mean to me. I think I will always try to get back to you. There may be certain delays. Some clients are a little bit more communicative with me. Mm-hmm. Some other clients, it's like I have to be the ones to reach out to them. But I think if like you're constantly reaching out and you're not hearing anything, like, no. Like, I wouldn't tolerate that kind of service. Like, I am paying you. Like, I understand. Like, especially coming from me, like, if I'm in the position where I'm hiring a tax advisor, like, give me the time of day. If I'm like reaching out, like, nothing, you know, don't, like, if you're being felt like you're pushed to the side, like, you're not that important and whatnot, then I think it's definitely worth moving on. But yeah, I think again, it's just like, who do you feel comfortable with? Who's been able to, if they've been like, you know, made you feel comfortable, if they've educated you?
All right. You know? No, that's all really good things to keep in mind. And then maybe the last thing to ask is with the tax season almost over, I bet you're excited, Nicole.
I'm so excited.
Is there something people can do to better prepare for next year?
Again, I feel like I've said this 100 times, but it depends on your situation. I think if you got a W-2 and you're not planning on doing anything, like, not really. If you're planning on selling a bunch of stock, if you're plan, like, it depends. Like, if you're planning on doing stuff, like, if you are, that is income generating. Yeah. Like, definitely, I think you want to kind of be aware, like, talk to your tax advisor, kind of look into it. It's hard to say, like, tax law changes every year. If you're kind of like really happen to be the kind of person that's super involved in like what's going on in the world, like, pay attention, like, to how certain things might affect you. I think or if like you hear like, hey, there's like this new act that's been proposed or new legislation coming out and you have a tax accountant, like, bring it up with them, have a conversation. Income generating activities, like, you're planning on doing that, buying or selling a home, like, that, definitely talk to your tax advisor, because there are like ways you can do it that are not so tax friendly and ways you can do it that are tax friendly. If you are planning on, so for when you get your W-2, which is basically like your job, you get the form at the end of the year, your job will withhold money on your paychecks to pay your taxes at the end of the year. If you're selling stock, if you're getting a ton of interest or dividends for whatever reason, if you have like a side business that are, you know, you're generating like any income that you're generating, you got to pay tax on it. So you can get kind of like if you, even at like regular filing deadline, if you owe a ton of money and you haven't paid in enough, like, you'll get hit with an underpayment penalty because you're supposed to be paying in quarterly throughout the year. It's called estimated tax payment. They are due April 15th, June 15th, September 15th, and then December 15th, sometimes January 15th for individuals. But that's kind of how the quarters work. So you want to kind of, if you know that you're going to be making a ton of money, that their like account as you make that money to withhold a certain amount for taxes or make an estimated payment. But again, like it is very situation dependent. I think if you're not sure, just like talk to your account.
I get to talk to you.
Yeah, you do.
I think I'm going to try and scooch in on that as well because I have questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Awesome.
That's all my questions. Like, I don't know. I feel like taxes always and, you know, money always makes my head run round and round.
Me too.
And it takes a little bit to absorb it all. And then I'm like, okay.
Yeah. I feel like I need a day to process it all.
I'll say this. I've been doing this for 5 years. And they're like, every day, I'm like, after 5 years, I'm like, the light bulb goes off. Like, it is okay. And like, I think it's like normal, like, it, you know, certain things kind of click, and it's not easy. Like, it is not an easy concept. And that's why, like, you know, I have a job because I'm gonna need it. So definitely, like, I think worth it to have those people in your life to help you.
All right. Well, based on our conversation today, I think it's pretty evident that taking control of our personal finances is crucial at every stage of life, and it's important to remember it's not as scary as one might think. From setting up a Roth IRA to exploring investments in high-yield savings accounts, the journey towards financial security begins with informed decisions. Remember, it's never too late to start saving and planning for the future. And when tax season rolls around, finding a trustworthy accountant can make all the difference. I want to extend a heartfelt thank you to my sister, Nicole, for joining us today and sharing her insights. And we look forward to having you back on the podcast soon. Join us next week as we shift gears to discuss our love and hopes for the health of our beloved Mother Earth. Until then, stay curious and financially empowered. Chat soon.
Enjoying the conversations we're having and the topics we're discussing? Consider supporting us through our Buy Us a Coffee page. We greatly appreciate any help in creating this podcast we love so much. Link in our show notes and Linktree. Before we end, don't forget to like, subscribe, or follow us on your preferred listening platforms, and we'll catch you next time.